Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Able, just stand with me. And I have something that I do to just kind of center my heart and my focus on the Lord. I just put my hands, both hands on my heart. Just going to ask you to do that if you're comfortable doing that. We're just going to set our attention, our affections, our heart on the ones who always thinks about us. God never stops thinking about you. You're always on his mind. It says that his thoughts towards us are unmeasurable. So Lord, we just give you, Lord, this time right now back. We set our hearts on you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank you for being the one that made it so that we can be here today, focusing on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, we just dedicate this time to you right now. And we just ask that you would just let your perfect will, your perfect plan, your desires for this service to be fulfilled. Just set our gaze on you right now, Lord, and we ask that you would just cause all of us to receive today what you have planned for us. What you've desired for us to receive. That no one would leave this place, Lord, not having received from your table. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the worship and adoration. We declare that you're our King and you are our Lord. And we are the people of your pasture.
It's all about you. Thank you. soul alive. You put your love inside. There's nothing that I haven't begun. There's nothing you haven't done. You make my soul. Thank you.
Thank you. Just draw me close. soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Show me your glory, oh God.
every hour we need you, Lord. Remind us of that, Lord, in our lives, that we need you, Lord. We can't do this on our own. We can't walk this walk alone. Can't live our lives alone. We can try, but it will fail. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Help us acknowledge you every day, Lord, your presence. Help us set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. Help us see your glory, Lord. Help us see your majesty, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll greet someone, love on someone. Thank you, team. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and do our declarations over the city, over the valley. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We declare, Lord, that your will be done in our valley, Lord. Your will be done, Lord, in families. Your will be done in businesses, Lord. Your will be done in schools, Lord. Father, we pray that your will be done in municipalities, Lord, and institutions. Father, we pray that you would continue to touch hearts and lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the move of God that's been taking place, Lord. Even though we can't see it, we know that you never stop working. So we thank you, Lord, for lives that are being drawn to Jesus right now. We thank you, Lord, for that hearts that are receiving the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ, the light of the glorious gospel. And we pray, Lord, that it would continue to grow and expand as the kingdom of God can cover this earth and cover this valley as the waters cover the sea. We declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This Wednesday, July 15th, right? We're going to be at Zeke's at 6:30. I encourage everyone to... And Tara's, yep. Well, Zeke will be cooking and Tara will make like side dishes, right? Yeah. But thank you, Tara. Yes. Thank you, whole family. I know the whole family does stuff. Yeah. But we'll be at the Villalobos home. How's that? Is that better? And we'll be having good food. Yep, we'll just leave it at that. I encourage all you men to bring somebody, bring a friend, and let's just see what the Lord will do in our gathering together. And we just are expectant of the great food, but also the Lord's presence. And then I want to thank everyone for giving to this house. You can give at onelifefamilyworship.com. Just click the give button. You can give up front or in the back. And then let's have the children come on up. You're on, kids. They're coming. Slowly but surely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing them, Lord. You're bringing increase to them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the calling and the plans and the purposes that you have in their life are being established, Lord, in these days. I pray, Lord, that as they go down, that you would be with them and that you would instruct them and guide them, be with their teachers, Lord. And I pray, God, that your perfect will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Didn't work, huh? No, he's a person of his own mind. Even with his dad was reaching out his arms one morning when he was coming in from the house, and he just walked right by him. It's like, oh, cold, man. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to continue on our Power of Prayer series. And I want to encourage again everyone about house prayer. We were there at the St. Martin's last night. It was an amazing time. We just spent some time in worship, but then praying for the needs of family and the body. And I know that the Lord is answering those prayers. So praise God. If you get a chance, please join us for those. And I want to encourage all of us to be remembering that God's calling us to be a house of prayer for all nations. And I'm getting rid of the mic right now, Jess. Sorry. Today, We're going to be talking, communicating on the thought of praying for your neighbors and loved ones. And there's not a lot of scriptures in the Bible that tell us to pray for our neighbors, but we are encouraged in Timothy to pray for all men. But when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the idea of Abraham and him praying for his neighboring community. And I'm going to go ahead and have a lot of scriptures, so hopefully you guys can keep up. And we'll start with Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Finally, Abram said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate." So what has happened is Abram has been called from the Ur of the Chaldeans to follow God. He was given just a communication from God and told him to go and leave his family, take his possessions, and to go to the land that I will show you. So it was definitely a step of faith, and he did. He walked out, he took his family, but also Lot went with him, who was his nephew. And so they were dwelling together in one place, but because of the size of each of their herds and all the people that they had, as we see here, they have to separate. And then it says, if you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land on the right. So this is Abraham saying to Lot, I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this before I knock it over, which I did. If you want the land to the right, you can have it. If you want the land to the left, you can have it. And so we see that Abraham's being generous and saying, Lot, whichever land you want, you take. I'll take the other. So he's being gracious and preferring Lot. And Lot took a long look at the fertile lands of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle from his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. So we have this separation between Lot and Abram. I think there's sometimes in family, you know, people move, but you still love them. And so we'll see that this heart for Lot is shown when Abram goes and rescues Sodom and Gomorrah and several other nations from the five kings, and he gets Lot back and all of his possessions, and so we see that Abram is for Lot. Now I want to go to Genesis chapter 18, and this is verses 1 through 33. So just buckle up with me. The Lord appeared again to Abram near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My lord," he says, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey." "All right," they said, "do as you have said." So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, "Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough, and take some bread and bake some bread." Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to a servant who quickly prepared it. So this is a scene. Three individuals are coming to Abraham's tent, and these most likely are either the Lord himself. Some believe that there were three, so it could have been a manifestation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It could have been the Lord Jesus with a couple angels. We don't know for sure, but we know know that Abram is greeting him as my Lord. And we'll go on and we see that something takes place that's pretty significant. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and the roasted meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. I think Abram was like 90-something and Sarah was over 80. And so it was quite the statement that God was making. And Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is so old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Just keep that in mind. Anytime you run into a situation, just remember, is anything too hard for the Lord? He does the impossible. "I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." There's a good lesson here. Don't argue with God. He knows what's going on. Don't lie to him either. Yeah, exactly. So here we get to where I want to be. So then the men got up from their meal and looked towards Sodom. As they left, Abraham went with them and to send them away, send them on their way. "Should I hide my plan from Abraham?" the Lord asked. "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. So I will do for Abraham all that I have promised." So the Lord told Abraham, "I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know." The other men turned and headed towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city. Will you sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why, you would be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" Is that bold? That's like confidence in that he can speak to God. And this was before the cross. You know, except Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth. But this is before Jesus went to the cross. This is before they had the relationship with the Holy Spirit like we have now. And the closest with the Father, he's like saying, "Lord, this isn't right if you take this, if there's 50 righteous people." And then he says, and the Lord replied, "If I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake." Then Abraham spoke again, "Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord. Even though I am but dust and ashes, suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 righteous people there." Then Abraham pressed his request further. "Suppose there are only 40. The Lord replied, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 40. "Please don't be angry, my Lord," Abraham pleaded. "Let me speak. Suppose only 30 righteous people are found." And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 30. Then Abraham said, "Since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20. And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Finally, Abraham said, "Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose only 10 are found there." And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. When the Lord had finished his conversation with Abraham, he went on his way, and Abraham returned to his tent. So here we have a righteous man, Abraham, standing in the gap for a community, a large city. I don't know how big Sodom and Gomorrah was. We know that it had a town square. We know that it was kind of like a metropolis. And but keep in mind, someone else was there. Lot was there. So we don't see him asking for Lot himself, but I'm believing that Lot was in his heart when he was asking for Sodom to be spared. We know that those two that went earlier went into the city, and Lot found them and said, don't wait here in the square, come to my house. And we know that it's in the next chapter. And what ends up happening is that the angels, because the people are trying to want to have sex with the angels, and they're wanting to do the atrocities that they're being blamed for doing, and the angels blind them, and they take Lot and get him out of the place and say, don't look back. And his wife looks back, and she turns into a pillar of salt, but Lot and his daughters are spared. I don't know how many righteous people were in the city. Maybe there was only four. Maybe there was just Lot. Maybe Lot was the righteous one. We know that I think it's Peter that righteous man Lot tormented his soul by living in Sodom and Gomorrah. So we know that Lot was righteous. We had one. What if Abraham had said, Lord, let's go to five? And maybe he got him down to one. Maybe all of Sodom and Gomorrah could have been spared for the one. We don't know. But we do know that Abraham was standing in the gap for his neighbors. And so that's kind of what I want to focus on. I know I said for our loved ones, but hopefully all of us know we need to be praying for our loved ones. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, it says this: do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Do not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is threatened. I am the Lord. So this is encouraging in the book of Leviticus. You could say it's a commandment, one of the commandments. And it's saying that you're not to bear false witness, another translation says. And I believe it means that if you hear somebody bearing false witness against your neighbor, don't stand idly by. Stand up for them. But it also is telling us that our neighbors are important. Their lives are important. We see that here in two verses down in verse 18. It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against the fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where have we heard that? I think Jesus quoted it. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Proverbs 3:28-29 says this: if you can help your neighbor now, don't say come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. We are living in a day when neighbors, people that live around us, are a lot of times not even identified by us. We just sometimes we just, you know, maybe wave at them. Hopefully we do at least that. When I lived over in the parsonage for years, I would every now and then meet a neighbor, but you know, they would come and go. And I don't know if it's because we lived in the parsonage, but it seemed like it was difficult to connect with people. And maybe that was just me. You know, maybe it was just, you know, but when I grew up, I mean, we lived on 35th. We knew all our neighbors when we were living on 35th, and we didn't have like super close relationship, but we knew who they were. But today there seems to be like an isolation spirit that's in people. I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know if it's just, you know, the lack of interest that we have in others. We're so interested only in our own lives. But I love this, that it says, don't do harm against your neighbor, because those who live by trust you. hopefully we can trust our neighbors, and hopefully our own neighbors can trust us. I know Jesse knows most of his neighbors around him. He's very good about, you know, he'll tell me about, you know, his neighbors, what's going on. So he breaks the mold. So he can be our what do you call that? Model child for the, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. No, that's okay. But our neighbors are important. At least they should be. And why are they important? Because they're important to God. That's really the bottom line that should motivate us. That they should be important to us because they're important to God. Well, what if your neighbors are like the kind of neighbors that you don't like, you know, and they throw their leaves in your yard, or they blow their dirt over into, you know, onto your lawn, or whatever it may be, you know, they have loud parties or whatever, and so, you know, you're disconnected from them. God still loves them, and they need to be loved. But most of all, they need to be prayed for. Let's go ahead and look at this illustration that I think really communicates the idea of who's our neighbor. In Luke 10, 25 through 37, it says, "One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus replied, 'What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?' The man answered, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.'" So this teacher of the law, this religious leader, knew his stuff. Jesus told him, "Do this, right, do this, and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by, so he just ignored him. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side, just ignored the man. Then a despised Samaritan came along. His enemy came along. Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. They had disdain for each other. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." So who was his neighbor? According to this, anyone. Anyone's our neighbor. Not just the person that lives across the street. Your neighbor could be your coworker sitting next to you. Your neighbor could be a fellow student. What? Could be a very stranger. I think these type of scriptures are kinds that bring like conviction to me. I don't know about you. When I hear them, I think about, wow, have I been like a high priest that just walked by and, you know, and didn't pay attention to a need? You know, forgive me, Lord. I know there's times that I've been so busy, I probably have done that. I was with someone one time, and, you know, I don't want to say they're necessarily more spiritual than me, but they were very heavenly minded. They saw an ambulance. They immediately stopped and were praying for what they saw. They didn't know who was in the ambulance. They said, "Lord, just be with that person or be with that individual as they go by." And, you know, I'm like, wow, I didn't think of doing that. Now, sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. Ezekiel 22:30, "I looked for someone." This is God. This is God. When Israel was going through basically a crisis time. He's looking for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap. Stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. This could be, I looked for someone who lived on such and such a block, who lived in such and such an area of town. I looked for someone that would oversee in the spiritual realm what's going on around them and let the needs of the area, you know, burden their heart. I looked for someone to stand in the gap. You know, and standing in the gap doesn't mean we necessarily have to be like, you know, screaming at the top of our lungs, you know, praying. It could just be a simple prayer. Lord, just touch my city, touch my valley, touch my block, touch my neighbor across the street. Let your hand of mercy and grace and blessing come upon them. It could be something as simple as that. You know, our words, as we've learned through the power of prayer, carry weight. And our prayers carry weight. And as we communicate to the Lord with humble hearts and we get compassion for those around us, you know, that's what drove the Good Samaritan, was compassion. He had compassion when he saw the man who was beat up and almost stripped naked. He saw his wounds and healed them and did everything he could, even to the place where he put him up in a hotel and paid for his lodging and said to the innkeeper, if there's any more, I'll come back and I'll pay you. Never telling the guy, hey, will you pay me back when you get better? No, he's just worried and concerned about his needs. I mean, talk about a New Testament example of a Christian. That Samaritan. I believe these days that we live in are difficult days for many people, not just for, you know, people that we know, loved ones and friends. I think for people out there who have to try to navigate, negotiate all of the things that are going on. And I would say that probably the Lord's looking for someone. And I would say that probably we are candidates for that, to be that someone. Why? Because we have God living in us. We have the kingdom of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. All those things that we communicate about, you know, from the Word. We have relationship with the one who holds everything in his hands. Lord, help us, Lord, to respond to your call when we see needs in our life. Help us, Lord, to reach out beyond our own comfortable zones of our life. Help us, like Abraham did, Lord, to go the extra mile in praying. Yeah, maybe he didn't go all the way down to one, but he kept pushing, Lord, you to do the right and the honorable thing. You knew what you intended in your heart. But we know Abraham was standing in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah and for Lot. I just pray, Lord, you'd help all of us, Lord, to learn to stand in the gap. First, Lord, for those loved ones dear to us, our families, Lord, but also, Lord, for our neighbors, all those around us, God, that need you desperately, that need your grace to work in their lives. That needs your love, Lord, to be made evident to them. Lord, I just pray that you would help all of us, God, to be houses of prayer for all nations. Houses of prayer, Lord, for our neighborhood. Houses of prayer, Lord, for our workplaces, God. Houses of prayer, Lord, for our friends, God. Help us, Lord, to make a difference. Lord, you didn't just save us and then just take us to heaven. you left us here, God, because we have a calling and a mission, Lord, as your word says, that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that you preordained beforehand that we can walk in them. Help us, Lord, to live lives, Lord, of workmanship for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just right now, we just lift each and every one of our neighborhoods before your throne. We ask that you touch those families, Lord, in those homes, Lord. If they're living lives, Lord, separate from you or even shaking their fist at you, Lord, we pray that your grace would come in, Lord, and fill them, Lord, in a way that would draw them to you, that would bring them out of darkness into your glorious light. Let your perfect will, Lord, be accomplished in our neighborhoods, Lord. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go be the someone. Go answer the call. It's not hard. You just have to take some time. You have to listen. But let's not make it so that we're hearing God say, I found no one. Right? All right. God bless you all. Have a great day.